Did you enjoy the aerobics up and down and up and down? Preparing you for your meal tomorrow. Well, I want to spend a couple of minutes in the Word of God. In fact, I want to touch down on one of the scriptures that was read tonight. Words from the prophet Isaiah that begin, "A people walking in darkness have seen a great light." A people walking in darkness have seen a great light. These words were written about 7.5 centuries before Jesus came and was laid in a manger, the baby Jesus, the Son of God. And these prophetic words speak of the coming of Jesus, but it begins with darkness. And you know, when you're a little kid, the darkness of Christmas time and the lights, that's exciting. And on a night like this, you know, we kill the electricity except for the sound and the projection. And enjoy the candlelight, and the darkness is kind of enhances it, doesn't it? And it makes it a special time on Christmas Eve. But you know, the darkness can also be threatening. In fact, in the human spirit, we know that it is in darkness that things that are not good reside. It's in darkness that there is confusion and deceit. It's in darkness where there, well, evil lurks. And it's in darkness where there is death. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah is speaking of the coming of the Savior, the coming of Jesus. See, because when light comes into the darkness, the things that are untrue are revealed and the truth is laid bare. When the light comes into the darkness, the evil flees and is replaced with goodness. And when light comes into the darkness, death is replaced with life. That's the message of Jesus. Now, Isaiah wasn't done. He speaks of some other things, but then he comes back to the Son a few verses later. You heard it read tonight. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And it speaks of the birth of the Son of God, God in the flesh, coming here to earth. And he's described as a gift. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This Jesus is a gift from our Heavenly Father. When Jesus was grown up in his earthly ministry, he said, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish," there goes the death, "but will have everlasting life." That's the light of life in Jesus. Now, the prophet went on to say that the government will be upon his shoulders, and if you're interested in politics, that sounds like a good deal, right? For Jesus to be in charge, amen. You can say amen, okay? Well, you don't have to, but... But then he says he will be called, and he gives 5 names for Jesus: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, we're talking about a gift, and I bet some of you are going to share some gifts, and maybe there can be some gifts under the tree, maybe later tonight or tomorrow morning. And like those gifts, I'd like to unwrap those, because I want to tell you something. If you see who Jesus is, if you see the nature and character of him, and it's described in those 5 names, you can't help but want to give your life to him. That first name of Jesus is Wonderful. Now, I've already had some wonderful food this holiday season. I bet you have some wonderful food planned. We've had a wonderful time of worship here. That's how we use the word wonderful. But when Isaiah wrote this, he was speaking of being full of wonders. And a wonder is something where, like, when it happens, you go, "I wonder how that happened." It's because it's a miracle. It speaks of the idea that Jesus is one who is filled with the supernatural, with the miraculous. And when we think about his earthly ministry, I mean, first of all, you know, his mom was a virgin. That's a miraculous birth. And then when Jesus begins his ministry, he starts by demonstrating that he has the power in miraculous ways to step in from the eternal and come and take control of, well, physical matters. His first miracle is turning water into wine at a wedding. Later in his life, he will just calm a storm with a command of his voice. He will walk on water. He has power over the material world around us. He also has the power to step in and deliver us from physical infirmities. In his earthly ministry, he cast out demons. He healed people with terrible, incurable diseases with just a touch. People born, like a fellow was born blind in just a few minutes with Jesus, and he had sight. Cripples were made to walk. Not only did they walk, but they danced with joy before the Lord at the power of the miraculous in Jesus. late in his ministry, one of his friends died. He had been laid in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus called him out of the tomb. He raised his friend from the dead. And then in a great and spectacular miracle, the one that we celebrate every Easter, Jesus himself, when he laid down his life on a cross for us, rose again from the dead. He is wonderful. He is filled with a miraculous. You know, if you know Jesus, you know what you can expect to happen in your life? Things that you think might be impossible. Another scripture that was read tonight ended with these words, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Wonderful. That's the first name. The next name is Counselor. Now, when I think of a counselor, I think of someone that I would trust, an advisor that I would go to and ask him to help me to make good and wise decisions. You know, to not do dumb stuff, but do things that are right, to do things that are in my best interest, to do the things that fit me. Can you imagine having a counselor that knew you better than you knew yourself? That knew all of your strengths, knew all of your potential, but also knew all of your failings and shortcomings and foibles? Imagine a counselor who could guide you and lead your life, knowing that about you, but he also knows everything about what's going on around you. In fact, he even knows the future. That's Jesus. If you step into a relationship with him, you will have a perfect guide for all of this life and the life to come. He's wonderful. He's full of miracles, and he's the perfect counselor. The third name that Isaiah gives this one that will come, the child, the son whose birth we celebrate tonight, is Mighty God. Now, I know this was kind of a big deal for me in my spiritual journey when I discovered that, I thought God was God and Jesus was his little boy. When I found out that Jesus is God. You heard that word read tonight, that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. That's the opening of John's gospel, and the Word is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is God. You know, this is just is mind-blowing what God did when he came to earth. See, he's the God whose arms span the galaxies. He's the God that created all things, and you know, I guess it's a little cloudy out tonight, but if it was clear, you could go out at about this time of night, and just west of the straight-up line there, there's a fuzzy little star, and it's fuzzy because it's actually a billion stars. It's the galaxy Andromeda. You may have seen pictures of it, maybe Hubble telescope pictures, right, of all those spiral bands. Yet Jesus made that. Jesus, God, King, sovereign over the universe, decided to leave all of his godness behind and squeeze himself down, 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 and be born as a human baby and become one of us. That is absolutely amazing. That's what Jesus did. And do you know why he did it? Because he loves each of us in this room and all people so very, very much that he chose to diminish himself and become one of us. Because he's God, he could do something we can't do. Did you know that you can't get into heaven unless you have a perfectly clean slate? You can't without God's help. Well, that's why Jesus came. See, because he was perfect, because he's God, and he lived a perfect life, not one blemish on his record. And at the end of that life, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross like that and die in our place. And he paid the price. He took the penalty for your sin and for mine so that we can have that clean slate and go to heaven. It is amazing that God came to earth, and he did it because of his love. Now, the fact that he took away our sin, takes away our death penalty, Jesus said these words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, the one who believes in me, will live even though he or she dies. That gets to the fourth title of Jesus, Everlasting Father. And I go, Pastor Mike, I thought Jesus was Son and the Father was the Father. Well, as Isaiah used the Hebrew there, it actually means the Father of that which will live forever, the Father of that which is eternal and everlasting. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me, is he gave us, we sang it in that hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that he born that we might no longer die. He born to give us second birth. Birth into new and everlasting life. So he is the Father of new and everlasting life for all those who have put their trust and faith in him. I don't know about you, but under the tree, I was thinking about things I'd kind of like for Christmas. I would like 3 days in a row off. That would be good. I would like 2 good nights sleep in a row. That would be pretty good. And I want some woolly socks. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get those. But wouldn't it be amazing to open up a package and say, you have immortality? You will live forever? That's the gift that's on offer in our Lord Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The fifth name is Prince of Peace. You know, the reason that our lives, maybe some more than others, are kind of a hot mess, and the world around us is, well, filled with difficulty and trials. The reason for every human infirmity, tears and sorrow, the brokenness that comes in relationships, from little misunderstandings to, well, horrible things. Things like poverty and warfare, injustice, disease, death itself. That all comes from the fact that in our flesh we rebel against God, so we don't have peace with Him. When Jesus died on the cross, He healed that wound and made it possible for us to have peace with God. You know, this is an amazing thing that's on offer. You know what peace with God means? By the way, just think about this for a minute. I mean, the God that you know, lit the fire in all those stars in every galaxy and spun all those galaxies up, and the God that wove together the first strands of DNA, the God that breathed life into you and to me, the God that raises up nations and sweeps them away into history, the God that brings floods and earthquakes and asteroids that destroy planets, that God. You know, and you know what we do in our own human pride? We decide it's a good idea to have like a tug of war with Him and say, you know what? I want it my way. I don't want your will. I don't want to do what you want me to do, God. I don't know. Does that seem like that makes sense to have a tug of war with that God? Now, at the same time, He's all powerful like that, but He's also all good all the time. He's perfect. He's pure. He's right. He's kind. He's merciful. Why on earth would you want to be at war with Him? Jesus made it possible for you to have peace with God. And when you do, that God of the universe that's all good all the time, He becomes your friend, your companion. He makes every provision for all of your needs. He leads you in the ways of righteousness and everlasting. There is no life better than a life walked at peace with God. You know what else happens when you have peace with God? He accepts you just as you are. And there are two important things about that. One is He forgives you, and He fills you with unbelievable depths and wellsprings of love for Him and the capacity to love other people. And that He forgives us, and He teaches us how to forgive other people. And that means you not only have peace with God, but you are able to have peace with one another. In this world, doesn't that sound good? You know, the fact that He accepts us just as we are, I said there are two dimensions to that. The other is, you actually can accept yourself and have peace in here with yourself. That's the Prince of Peace. This is what's on offer in the Christmas message. So I offer it to you all tonight. If you're a Christian and you've already accepted and received all that He is, man, what reason to celebrate and rejoice and to sing hallelujah and praise the Lord at His first coming as we look forward to His second coming. And maybe if you're far away from Him, the invitation is to come close, because what's close is the miraculous. What's close is the guidance we all seek. What's close is the presence of the living God. What's close is eternal life and peace from the Prince of Peace. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, thank You so much for sending Your Son. We rejoice in Him tonight. We praise You for Him. And, oh, Jesus, thank You so much for offering Yourself as a free gift. May we all receive that gift. For those who have, Lord, open our mouths and help us to rejoice, to sing it aloud. Hallelujah. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And for those who are tentative about You, Lord, for those who might be holding back, for those who might have stepped away from You, Lord, would You draw them close by the power of Your Holy Spirit, even in this room, in this place right now, Lord. Would you awaken their hearts and their spirits and bring them to you, that they might find the remarkable blessing that can only be found in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name I pray. Amen. Amen.